We cannot let their voices stifle our cause. This political crisis puts our head in their jaws. History is upon us. We've seen this before. We can never allow freedom to exit our shore. Okay, good afternoon and welcome to the Trump Chronicle. I'm your host, Ray Brookstein. Ladies and gentlemen, the political and cultural environment over the last 3+ years started out exhilarating for many, those of us who reveled in the shocking election result, putting Donald Trump in the White House, while others were devastated and exasperated when those same results came in on that fateful November night in 2016. This clash of reality and deep emotional despair has divided our nation, but has also caused investigation after investigation at congressional, intelligence, and federal law enforcement agency levels in an attempt to remove the president from office by connecting the dots of conspiracy, collusion, and obstruction of justice, hopefully leading to grounds for his impeachment. However, all that weaponization, surveillance, wiretaps, warrants, subpoenas, early morning arrests, and low-level convictions of the Mueller probe basically went nowhere towards their goal, but left in its wake a country shaken by what many observers call a witch hunt, ruined lives, and put our constitutional republic within inches of its destruction. One such observer is with me today to discuss what all of this means. Ava Armstrong is a best-selling author, political commentator, and producer on the America Out Loud platform. She's patriotic, outspoken, and rarely, if ever, shies away from verbalizing what's on her mind. And that voice resonates on our radio platform and on social media. And it's an honor to have her with us today. So welcome, Ava.
Thank you so much. Wow, you make me sound so good.
Well, you are. You are. You know, as my opening indicated, and we're coming off the heels of a painfully lengthy Mueller probe and report and his very weird appearance before the subcommittee, seemingly unaware of the basic facts of the investigation. Were you surprised by that?
Not really. I've been following the investigation since, you know, the inception of it, actually, or since we found out about it. And, you know, delving into the deepest, darkest corners of everything. I knew right away that Weissman was, you know, the kind of the head dude on this investigation. And he's got a track record that is really, really bad. You know, he destroyed Arthur Andersen, and he destroyed many companies. And his verdicts, after he destroyed companies and families and people lost jobs and billions of dollars were lost, the Supreme Court overturned his decisions that he, that, you know, his cases that he had brought. So I look at Weissman as a real dirty lawyer. I mean, he's despicable in my eyes to do those kinds of things. He's the type of guy that will, well, he's a typical Democrat. What can I say? What can I say more than that? I mean, there are no rules, okay? And this is what we have to understand on a broader spectrum here. This is very eye-opening. And I'm a great believer in a higher power, okay? You want to call it God or Jesus or, you know, whatever you want to call it. There is a creator. I'm very convinced of that. And this whole exercise that we've just been put through is kind of a baptism by fire, because I think our creator is showing us there is evil in this world, and this is how it operates, and you'd better wake up, and you'd better stop fighting. And so I feel very happy that I have a fighter who's in the Oval Office right now.
Yes.
I also have great worries that there aren't, are not enough people surrounding him to fight like he does. So that's one of my big worries.
Based on the results that we're seeing of all of this, what do you see as your long-term assessment of the deep state and where going?
Yeah, that's going to be, a long-term project, really. It won't be just Trump doing it. I mean, we all have to be involved in it somehow. And our program, America Out Loud, is a great voice for patriots and people like you and me, mm-hmm. who are trying to make America great again, trying to keep America great. We love the values of this country. We love the founding. We love the Constitution. And we understand how unique this country is. However, our friends on the Democrat side, I call them friends as a joke, but they do not feel the same way about this country. Obviously, if anybody even watched the Democrat debates, which I did, and it was painful for me to watch that, but I had to watch it because I consider it opposition research. You really need to know your enemy and know them intimately. So when I watched that, both of the debates, I realized that everybody on the debate stage was pretty much a Marxist, okay? Mm-hmm. They're either a communist or a Marxist or both. And even Tulsi Gabbard, when she attacked Kamala Harris.
Yes.
And, she tried to come across as the moderate. And then Delaney was another one who was a so-called moderate. Let me tell you something. There are no moderates left running for office in the Democratic Party. Not that I can find. And the JFK era is gone. Somebody burned it and stuck a fork in it because it's gone.
It's totally gone. I mean, I grew up in that era, and that's seems like it's close to 50 years ago, mm-hmm. that, that was going on, and my political career sort of began, or at least my understanding of politics. And that's 50 years ago, and here we are 50 years later.
And if you read JFK's speeches, which I've done, I've spent way too much time in a college classroom, but, reading his words, he would be considered a conservative today.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Can you give us an example that you can shed some light on?
I can't come up with something right off the top of my head, okay. But I know that...
But your feeling was definitely it was conservative.
Yes, he was much more moderate, much more... he would be considered a conservative today in our world. What's happened very interestingly, over the course of time, again, I'm a history major too, and that's I'm one of those geeks that, looks back.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I'm always, I'm always studying, trends or things that are happening. And, the Republican Party has moved very much to the center to accommodate the Democrats, okay? But the Democratic Party has moved much further left. So now we have this great kind of a chasm or a division, okay? We're not willing to go that far left because it will destroy our country. So we can't do that. But up till this point in time, you have to understand that conservatives or Republicans are the ones that have made all... We've made all the, like in a marriage, you have to always
sort of compromise or adjustments.
Compromise and adjust and mm-hmm. give in, so we've given in, we've given in. And we said, okay, sure. We're fine with gay marriage. We're fine with, all these cultural things, we're fine, transgender people.
Yes.
Fine. Who cares? It's don't ask, don't tell, or just live your life and I'll live mine. And,
but we get accused of being racist. For the more of those moderate positions.
Yeah. And what's
Isn't that
really,
crazy?
Well, what's really odd to me, too, about this racist kind of slanderous term is that many, many people in America are multiple racial identities, okay? I know my background, I have like 5 different, nationalities in me. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of a Heinz 57, you could say, but that I always thought that was the beautiful part of America. We have the stain of slavery on our history, but so do other countries. we're not alone in that. I mean, every place in Europe had slavery at one time. You know, Africa itself today, to this very day, has slavery existing in the African continent. Mm-hmm. So this is something that is abominable. It's a terrible thing. It's an abomination on mankind, slavery. But, you know, we had that in our history. We've come through that terrible time frame. And there are other times in our history that were very uniting and wonderful. And like during World War II, some of the things, you know, we all came together and fought the enemy and, you know, gave our all. And, you know, my gosh, people, you know, they couldn't even build houses because there wasn't enough metal to use for piping. And, you know, I mean, all sorts of things. I mean, people did extraordinary things to save the country. And I'm wondering right now, Ray, if we had to fight World War II again, right now, today, would we even make it? Could we even do it?
That's a great question. I mean, you know, history, we're talking about history, and I, you know, I wonder if we, you know, they say hindsight is 20/20. I mean, if we may not be alive, but when they look back 50 years from now, what was this? Seriously.
Yeah, they'll be studying it, and just like I'm studying a lot of events and looking at them and trying to explain how these things are coming to be. The Communist Party has been in this country since 1948, 1950, mm-hmm. somewhere in there. They actually have a headquarters in Chicago, by the way. So, I mean, they're very much above board. It used to be a secret thing. But, you know, people would whisper the word communist, you know.
Well, we had the McCarthy era you're talking about.
Right.
Pretty much right in that time frame mm-hmm. where you were, you know, just by association, you were guilty. It's kind of like what we're feeling as conservatives right now.
Exactly.
It's guilt by association. Since we're associated by having either voted for Trump or supporting Trump, or mm-hmm. supporting some of the, you know, the things that are going on in the country, we're labeled as what? What are we labeled as?
Oh, all kinds of
unflattering. I mean, they're not nice names.
No, they're not.
We don't want to repeat them.
No.
But the enemy seems like it's within. I mean, I think about like the federal courts. You know, in specifically like the Ninth Court and mm-hmm. maybe the Fourth Court. And all of these circuits, and it seems like the circuits were blown.
Oh, yeah.
But I wonder, do you think it's okay that we lose some of the smaller battles as long as we win the big battles, like at the Supreme Court level?
No, I think we have to, and Trump's doing a great job at this, by the way. He's putting, you know, judges in that are, they're very good judges, and they're very much constitutional judges, which is what we really need. We mm-hmm. need a strict interpretation. We don't want a loosey-goosey interpretation of the Constitution. You start going down a very dangerous road when you do that, and we've done that already in this country. We've already had liberal judges on the Supreme Court, you know, abortion being one example, in my opinion.
Yes.
You know, the first unalienable right is that of life, and life comes from a creator, not government. So
exactly.
It's very, very important, and I'm obviously very pro-life, and
me
it's
too.
Very important. It's very, very important to understand that we have birth control. I often post this. There has to be 12 or 15 methods on there of birth control. And one of them is abstinence. Very often that does not go, you know, mentioned. For some reason, people think abstinence, they don't even know what that word means, which is scary. But it's very important. It's very important.
True. If you asked probably any junior high school student what the definition of abstinence is, mm-hmm. I am sure it would be like when Jesse Waters goes out there and he does his Waters World and he asks these questions and the level of understanding is really strange and kind of scary.
Yeah, it's very alarming. It's very alarming. It is.
You know, but many Americans right now feel, you know, back to the Constitution, mm-hmm. that there's a two-tier system going on here. And this is very frustrating to us, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, very, very much so.
You know, and there's so many of these deep state players. Do you see any of them being held accountable?
Well, it will be very interesting the next 2 years, I think, in this country, because it will make or break America as we know it. And, you know, we're watching this in real time. And there are some days I feel very nervous and very frightened for the future of this country. And there are other days that I listen to somebody talk or speak about the country. Notably, most of them are military people. And I'm just so, my heart is warmed when I hear what they say. I just read an article today. There's a former Navy SEAL, Carl Higbee. And he wrote a very scathing open letter to all the military top brass and explained, you know, the problems that they're having in the military with, you know, these very restricted rules of engagement and so on and so forth that all happened during the Obama period, by the way.
Yes.
That changed immediately when Trump was elected into office. And you notice we've had nothing but military, you know, success ever since then, ever since Trump came in.
That's
and that has
true.
A lot. Yeah, it has a lot to do with it. He lets the military do their job and he stands back and, you know, he's there to make the decisions that need to be made, but he doesn't micromanage them. And what Obama did is he put so many roadblocks in the path. He did the same thing with police as well. And he came very close. Obama, I have to hand it to him. I really do. He came very, very close to taking this country down. Hmm. And, you know, 8 years of that, and you know, you see where we ended up, and we were desperate to have somebody like Trump. I mean, we were just so craving a real, true leader, somebody that really loved this country and felt as we do, you know, about it. And well, now we have him. So
we have him, and hopefully, we'll have him another 4 years. And you know, will that be enough? Some people say it may be an 8-year bump in the road. So we really have to think beyond Trump, don't we?
Definitely, definitely.
And these things are very, very important. But I just wonder if anybody in particular, a particular woman, will go to prison. And whether in your next book, will I see an image of somebody in an orange jump pantsuit. And you can think about that as we go into the break.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
If you want my opinion on what will happen with Mr. Durham and his investigation, I actually think this is going to need a special prosecutor. And I know people are probably really tired of hearing that, but I do think a special prosecutor will be needed because it's going to be such a far-reaching investigation. And I know the Clintons will be investigated. I know that's underway already. I do believe Hillary Clinton will do some prison time. And I also believe Bill Clinton might too. Yep, I do. A lot of it has to do with money and the Clinton Foundation. But there are some other things too that have, you know, been kind of pushed aside. And I think there can be more charges piled on. there's
so much
crime.
I think a lot has to do with the foundation, the Clinton Foundation.
I think a lot of it will be that because money is always leaving a trail. And that's one of the things when investigators start investigating you, they're going to look at your transactions and, you know, they have to piece everything together. And it's very time consuming and it's very costly. But I think in light of what's been done to Donald Trump, this is the only way to right that ship. I'll tell you what, if people do not go to prison for what they did to Donald Trump, this country will have another revolution.
I predict that.
Yeah, I do. And I'm prepping for it, honey, I'll tell you.
Do you think he'll win a second term?
I do. I feel very confident about 2020.
Why?
I'll never let my guard down, though. But I feel completely confident because I did watch the Democrat debates and I listened to every word they said, and they turned off every person just about listening that had a brain anyways. You know, there's no way to pay for this stuff. And, you know, even Tulsi Gabbard, you know, she's a brilliant lady, served in the military, still is in the military, had a lot of good points. The minute she opened her mouth and said that the new Green Deal was, you know, the big important thing, I'm like, oh my goodness, you know?
I mean, I was thinking the other day, if we go to this new Green Deal and they eliminate cars and fossil fuels, how are people going to get to work?
Well, it's totally, let me tell you something up front, okay? That they're not telling you. This is all just a pretend thing. Hmm. All right. What they want to do is take your money. Okay. And I mean, not a little bit of your money. They want 70% tax rates. Okay. They want to go back to the time before Ronald Reagan came into office, Jimmy Carter time. Okay. This is going to be the most horrible thing for this country, let me tell you, if these people ever get to tax us in this manner. They will never be able to live. I mean, you know, you see how people are living on Skid Row and living in the Tenderloin District. That's what our whole country will turn into, because we won't have any personal property. We won't even be able to pay a mortgage or hold on to our own. That's the whole idea. They don't want you to have property.
Anything.
They want you to have nothing. They want you to be 100% dependent on the government. That's, and that is Marxism.
That's Marxism. Exactly right.
Yep. And I'm telling you, if we go down this road, it is a bad, bad road. We're at a crossroads right now in this country. And I can't say this enough. And I wish young people would listen to this, but they probably won't. They've been brainwashed by these radical professors and so on. And even young children that are like 7 or 8 years old. I mean, I saw a video of a little girl crying and she was just, you know, I thought she had lost a mom or dad or something. And she was crying because she had just heard a presentation on climate change and the world's going to end. Hmm. And this little girl was like 7 years old. And I'm thinking to myself, that's child abuse. It truly is. To tell kids this, you know, it's first of all, it's BS. Okay. I can guarantee you right now, 10 years from now, I'm still going to be here. Okay.
Well, I hope so too. I hope we can do another radio show like this in 10 years. Really?
But we've come down. This is where we are now. Okay. And this is what's good. I always say this, free speech is really a wonderful thing. Because we've listened now to the Democrats ad nauseum, right? They've talked and talked and talked about the new Green Deal and all the things they want to do. They, you know, it's all about taking more money away from this and giving to that. They're going to forgive student debt. Well, who's going to hold the bill for that? It's the taxpayers. Everything that the Democrats are saying is going to come out of us, the taxpayers. So there's two ways we can go about this. And this is really good because what they've done now is they've defined themselves.
Yes.
Okay. We're not sticking this tag on them. They're defining themselves. And this is the best way to make an argument is policy. Okay. although I can't stand Schumer, but you know, but or Nancy Pelosi.
It hurts. It hurts. You know, I mean, you know, Trump came from New York. I came from New York, and they all know each other.
Oh yeah,
De Blasio, Cuomo, Trump. I mean, he was on really both sides of it. Mm-hmm. He's seen the inside of these people.
Yes.
He probably knows things that he'll never say, but he knows. And they
of
know
course.
He knows.
That's right.
And I wonder, I'm not surprised that even Nancy Pelosi is backing off impeachment. You know,
yeah.
She, you know, I mean, I've heard some decent things out of her, but she seems like she's a little off the wall at this point.
Well, I think at 80 years old, I think she served her time and she should step down. But well, that's a whole nother thing.
That's
but
another
I do
issue
think,
about
I do
term limits and
term
things
limits,
like that.
I never used to be for term limits, but I am now. And, you know, maybe it had to come to this for me to be for term limits. But we have this, we're at this path and it's divided into two ways. You can go with the New Green Deal and give
yes.
all your money to the government and have a complete Marxist system.
Okay.
And that never ends well. Or we can go back to the Constitution, back to our founding, and say to ourselves, where is it written in the Constitution that the government educates our children? It's not written in there at all. That's
no.
a,
I mean,
that's something that's
the government, that's everything is supposed to be done. There's 50 states.
Mm-hmm.
Most of it is supposed, and that's why they fought the Civil War, right?
Exactly.
Over states' rights and other things that were going on in the North and the South. But
yep.
really, most of the rights, whether it's abortion or voting or, you know, all the key issues are really at state level, and it should not be the federal government. They basically
yes.
are there to provide a military for
yes.
our protection, correct?
Yes, exactly.
But education should be at a state level, not at a federal level, correct?
Yes. The states are the laboratories of invention, okay? That's what they were meant to be, and that's what they... We need to get back to that idea. And it's a marvelous idea, it really is, because if you live in South Carolina and, you know, you don't want to live in a state, let's say, that, you know, prevents abortion or whatever, you can always move to another state.
That's
and
right.
Americans are very mobile. I mean, you know, we change jobs every so many years and, you know, we move every 5 years or whatever. And, you know, it's a mobile society that we have here in the United States. And
I don't even know how people, you know, go on job interviews anymore, you know, being retired, but what are you supposed to say? Oh, yeah, I'll work here 2 years and then I'll be gone. But they can't say that, but that's what they're doing. There is so much mobility.
That's the way the world works now. You know, it's years ago, it was, you know, we had big manufacturing companies and you would go in and work and get a gold watch and, you know, do your 50 years or 40 years or whatever at the plant and, you know, have a nice fat pension and your house was paid off and your kids all went to school and paid for their own college because they worked. You know, those were the good old days. We need to get back to that, though. There's nothing wrong with that, you know? Nothing wrong with it at all.
There's nothing wrong. And, you know, sometime back I put up a tweet, sort of like what we were talking about before,
mm-hmm.
that the conservatives have really become the liberals. And the liberals have just become the far left. And I
yes.
got crucified on that tweet because I was sort of like saying what you were saying, that we're the ones that are more flexible.
Yes.
And we don't get any credit for it. Trump is very flexible, but he won't put up with stupidity. You know,
yes.
so he'll go after the New Green Deal or he'll go after, you know, the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And he... Thank God he put in a couple of new justices on the Supreme Court. And I want to talk, I want to change direction a little bit and talk about suppression a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were talking about a little before, and I lost my train, but I want to get back into it because I remember a couple of weeks ago I got an interesting text from you that said, you remember this, right?
Mm-hmm.
You said, Ray, my Twitter account was like wiped out. They wiped out all my followers.
Yep, they zeroed it out.
And you were fit to be tied, weren't you?
I was really, really angry, yes.
Did it resolve at all?
I'm still angry about it. I never got an answer from Twitter support. I called them. I wrote to them. I did everything possible to try to get an answer for what was going on. But there was no nothing. I mean, I didn't have a clue as to, and it didn't just happen one day. It happened the next day again as well. So, it happened 2 days in a row. I finally got all my followers back, and then they were zeroed out again the next day. So that whole week was kind of crazy. But I think that I've come to the conclusion that Twitter is doing this to all conservatives. Mm-hmm. And the reason they're doing this, there was something that they put out, a public statement not too long ago. It said something about how they didn't want Twitter to be silos of, you know, people that were all the same. They wanted diversity on your timeline, okay? So this is a forced diversity program is what it is. And I have blocked over 200,000 people mm-hmm. on Twitter. I know that sounds crazy, but sometimes I just sit with my phone and there's a particularly nasty person, okay, that has like 100,000 followers, I'll go down through that list and just go bink, 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 and block, wow. block, block. And I do it. It's now like a, I don't know, you know, some people, they knit or they crochet. Well, I block people. That's what I do.
Oh, that's hysterical. But it's true. I mean, we are definitely being suppressed.
And well, one of the tweets that got me suspended for a week, yeah. somebody complained about, I said, Trump supporters are the new Underground Railroad.
Oh, I see.
We have to secretly talk to one another. We have to be careful because we'll get, you know, blocked or not blocked, but suspended. And we have to just couch our words very carefully. Well, the word Underground Railroad apparently offended somebody and they reported me to Twitter. And so Twitter sent me a thing and said, you know, you're booted off Twitter for a week. And this is the tweet that got you suspended. And I'm looking at the tweet and I'm thinking to myself, well, this tweet just proves it. You know, I mean, it proves my tweet, you know, it's like, wow, this is ironic, you know?
I know. No, I want to talk a little about A.G. Barr because he seems to be, besides the Spygate kind of stuff and getting to the origins of the investigation into Trump collusion with Russia and this and that. Mm-hmm. He's also starting to take aim at some of the social media use of search engines mm-hmm. As an antitrust issue. Mm-hmm. You know, like Google, they monopolize searches.
Yes.
So do you see, first of all, do you think he's doing a good job overall?
Yes, I do. Going on behind the scenes, he's not a guy that's going to announce what he's doing. You more or less have to hear about it kind of like after the fact, but no, I think he's doing a fantastic job, and I think you'll see it in the results more than, you know, you won't have any fanfare or any big announcements. I think you're going to just see it as it rolls out, and I think his handling thus far of many, many different things, like the Mueller report, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, when that came out and he did his, you know, announcement and so forth of it.
I think he's so confident.
He's a very measured kind of guy. He's not a guy that will shoot from the hip. And I think he's a nice balance for President Trump because I think President Trump is a very enthusiastic person. I think once he gets into something, he's you know, gung-ho and, oh, this is great and let's do it. And I think, you know, Barr is kind of like the guy that, you know, sits down and he'll reason things out and he'll say, hey, let's think about this. And he might throw a few questions at you that will make you think like, maybe I should rethink this. So I think they're good for one another, actually. I think they work in conjunction with one another quite well. And I think down the road, we'll look back in history and see that, you know, Barr is probably going to be one of the heroes of this whole thing.
I hope you're right. I see him being around for a long time, at least to marshal this whole thing through.
Now, I want to say something about Google and Facebook.
Yes.
And please. Twitter, okay? And probably Apple, and maybe even Microsoft, okay? These are the new cartel in the world of free speech, okay?
Right.
And what they're doing is totally, totally wrong. They're shutting down conservatives. Every one of these companies are run by very, very left-wing nut jobs. And I own stock in some of them, so there is that. But they are very, very big, and especially Google. Google is in every classroom. Children in first grade have to make a Google account, okay? And everything is done via Google Mail and Google Docs. This is for school children.
Mm-hmm.
So just think about that for a second. And you have, you know, every college, every business, everybody's using Google, right? Well, Google is also taking all this information about us and kind of creating, I guess, a profile. All right. Now, we don't think it's right for police.
They know even every move.
And they don't. Yeah. Now, it's not right for police officers to profile you, is it?
Well, that's true. I mean, they can't, but they are.
And they're using it for nefarious purposes. Okay. They're not using it to like, see if you like this kind of orange juice over that kind. They try to say that. They try to make you believe that. It's much more evil than that. And I don't know if you follow Veritas in the videos that they do, but I follow him, and he's just fantastic. And these are undercover videos that are being done, and you're hearing the employees of Google. And one guy just got fired from Google, and he's coming out and telling everything about it. And my God, it was stunning to me when I read that. It was like, wow, everything I was fearful about is actually happening. So it's not that like I'm a conspiracy theorist or anything. This is being proven. So yeah, our government needs to do something, seriously needs to do something right away, because we will not be able to communicate as conservatives on any of these platforms at all, because they're going to take us down.
It really is very, very disheartening. And I do hope that somebody sees the light. And I'm hoping also that the Supreme Court starts to step up and take some cases on. You know, I just want to read a poem. I mean, it could be a little depressing, but I want to read it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's called The Death of America. When the last statue is down, pulled way down to the ground, and no more marble is found, it's the death of America. When he and she's gone, it won't take very long. They will have no way to spawn. It's the death of America. When they muffle our voice, and it's a crime to rejoice, we gave up our freedom of choice. It's the death of America. When you can't genuflect, there's no Bible left to protect. God's given no more respect. It's the death of America. When there's no school left to teach, only what world governments preach. Every child's out of reach. It's the death of America. When there's no husband or wife, they squeeze out all unborn life. The family will never revive. It's the death of America. When I can't write a verse recording this curse, it cannot get any worse. It's the death of America. When the last battle is fought and all hope has been lost, we watched, knowing the cost. We never stood up for America.
Patriots, through his widely acclaimed poetry books, The Trump Chronicle, Ray Ray has preserved for us these historic events that have surrounded the first 2 years of the Trump presidency. His fervent and patriotic poems capture in real time what could have easily been lost or forgotten. The Trump Chronicle is available on Amazon or through the America Out Loud bookstore. Pick up a few of these memorable books for your library. They are a must-have for our MAGA movement. Let's support this important patriotic poet and show host so we can continue to read history through poetry.
Wow, that made me have tears in my eyes. Seriously, I love that poem. That's beautiful.
Thank you. You know, I put it out recently and I wasn't sure if I should, because it's a little depressing. I mean, I get no joy out of writing such a poem. But I think we have to realize that you said it before, that we're at a crossroads. It's not just the crossroads of our government and the Constitution, but it's us. We are the people. It is this whole spirit and reason for America is us. You know, I think I told you recently, maybe not, that I'm training somebody in our condominium to take his citizenship exam. It was a great honor. I've given him about 6 hours, and he's doing so well. I mean, it's not just understanding civics and the Constitution, but, you know, he's from another country, and he's got to learn to read, speak, and write English.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me of that's what founded our country, was immigrants who learned the language. We don't even have English as a main language anymore.
I know. We need those common denominators to bind us together. We really do.
And, you know, so it didn't give me any joy, but, you know, we have to recognize that we hold the key here.
Oh, and so true. So true. Our vote is so important, and we can band together. This is what we're known for doing anyways throughout history. We need to do it again. We need to band together and really, really come together and support Donald Trump and give him a conservative Congress to work with. And, you know, we can turn this around. We really can.
I hope you're right. I know that we spend a lot of time in, you know, you're one of the key producers on the America Out Loud network, and I'm told that you were pretty much involved from when they turned the lights on. Is that true?
Yes, it is.
Tell us about the early days of. You don't have to give us too much insight on Malcolm, you know, and all of that, but but he's a character. I mean, he's unbelievable. What he can do in one day.
He is so energetic, and he's uplifting most of the time, too. And he's also a very deep thinker. So I admire him very much. Malcolm's a great guy, and he's been very kind to me. When I started out about 3 years ago, and he said, I have this program I want to do. It's Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. And it's going to be all women and me. And I said, okay. And he was going to be the kind of decide what the topic would be. And he'd just kind of be the moderator. Well, mm-hmm. He turned out to be like a referee on some of those shows.
I love that show, by the way. It is an unbelievable show. It's still unbelievable.
We talk about everything on that show. And, you know, there are women from other countries and, you know, different viewpoints. And, you know, so we really mix it up sometimes, and it can get bad. But but I think sometimes those discussions can really make people think too. You know.
So so then you got involved in producing like Viewpoint and some other of the key shows.
Yes, we did some experiments on shows too. Like, you know, we did Nozzle for a while. You know, we just tried some different things. You know, what were we really looking to do here, you know? And I kept pushing him more and more into the conservative realm. And he wanted to straddle, you know, both. He wanted to bring people. Malcolm's a guy that wants to bring people together.
Okay.
That's his His goal in life is to make the world a better place, make more understanding. He's like a hippie, you know, that, I don't know, he's a clean-cut hippie. That's what he is. and he wants everybody to love one another. And, you know, he's very idealistic. He's you know, a man of God. You know, he's got a great heart, very kind. And so you wonder, what is he doing with me, right? You know, I'm contemplating world domination, you know.
How have you been able to maintain your passion and commitment over the years from the early days on the radio network?
Oh gosh, yeah, with him. I think we just have these great conversations. Sometimes we talk like we're talking right now, and Malcolm will say to me, I wish I had recorded this because, you know, it'd be some crazy discussion that we had, but, you know, he thought it was really good. And we did do that a couple of times. There's one that, this is not something I should laugh about, but we did this one podcast or radio show, and it was called Pervs Undercover.
Okay.
And I shouldn't even like advertise this because I was actually sitting in my living room, okay, and Malcolm called me, and he said, hey, I'm on Twitter right now, I'm looking at some stuff, and he recorded the whole show that way. We were just chatting back and forth, and it was when the Harvey Weinstein thing came out, and then Matt Lauer, you know, had a button under his desk, and, you know, and all this stuff.
To close the door.
Oh, yeah, so we were talking about all these people, you know, and all this stuff. And, you know me, I always look at things from all different angles. Okay.
Yes.
So I, you know,
and a lot of comedy too. You're very funny.
There's a lot of weird stuff, you know, that happens. And so I started talking about, you know, well, yeah, there are a lot of perverts out there. I said, you know, men and women, they're like dogs and cats. I mean, you know, we're different. And he said, well, you can't justify this, you know, that men make advances on women. And I said, no, it's disgusting. I said, but yet you have to realize that Oprah Winfrey was introducing these young girls to Harvey Weinstein. I mean, you know, there's a whole cast of characters here to throw stones at, you know. I mean, you know, there were many people that were complicit in that whole thing. And what about the girl that goes in for the casting couch and willingly puts herself out there, you know? And what about the women that Matt Lauer had? You know, I mean, some of those women were willing, let me tell you. They were, because they thought they could climb the ladder that way, you know? And yes. Malcolm was like, oh my gosh, that's horrible, you know? But we had some really good conversation back and forth about, you know, men and women and bad things that happen and, you know, what you should do. And that was my whole voice on that was, my God, girl, if you don't want this advance, let the guy know. You just don't sit on the couch and let him do what he wants to do. I mean, if he's doing something inappropriate, stand up and call him out on it. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, what are these women? Are they just like wishy-washy or what? You know, it didn't make sense to me, a lot of it. But anyways, that was Pervs Undercover.
Pervs Undercover. What do you see as the future direction? You know, you're involved in the network at a, you know, behind the scenes level and producing, and you know, you're always on as an expert commentator, and we really love that. But what do you see as the direction of the network into the future?
Oh, I think it's a very positive direction. Malcolm welcomes, you know, people on of all stripes and all, you know, ethnicities and backgrounds, and he's putting together a group of people that are very fascinating. I think it's a unique combination of people that are, like I said, they're all ethnicities, you know, they're gay, they're straight, they're, you know, all different backgrounds, and many of these people are a very positive voice for their community. So, I mean, it's wonderful to hear them talk and to banter back and forth and to bring these ideas out. And that's what it's really doing. I think Malcolm he's kind of the conductor, but he's bringing ideas into the realm of America Out Loud. And he's examining these ideas piece by piece. And this is what we need to do. And as Americans, this comes from the very beginning of our society, of our country, mm-hmm. is that we're an idea factory. That's what we are. We're always coming up with new and improved and better and, you know,
well,
safer.
That is such a great point, because when it comes to our country of being inventive and being a country of ideas, this is what we have to instill in the children. Mm-hmm. But it seems like it's, you don't want to compete. Everybody gets a participation award, and we disincentivize inventiveness. Mm-hmm. And this is,
yes.
this is a real problem.
Well, the major problem there is the curriculum they're being taught is, you know, they're being taught to the test, and it's all leftist indoctrination, pretty much. I was asked a very interesting question the other day by a guest on the show. It was Ron Eastman. He's okay. a wonderful new addition. And he said, what is the most dangerous thing in America right now that's destroying our society? And I said, it's the school system. And, you know, he asked me to elaborate on that, and I did. And I really, truly do believe that we're doing a great disservice to these children. And we need to teach them, you know, we need to teach them the truth, not this crazy stuff they're teaching them now. It's horrible.
You know, I've heard that you've written enough books to open a bookstore. Is that true?
I've only written 18 so far.
18. So. I'm just trying to get my fourth. I can't imagine 18. Now, I can get another 4 years out of the Trump Chronicle. So Definitely. That's eight. I have one from the beginning is nine. But, mm-hmm. you know, I'm thinking that there won't always be a Trump. It's going to end. And I'll turn my writing towards what I call history through poetry, because there'll always be something. But
well, I disagree with you on that.
Okay.
I will tell you something, and it may make you feel sad, but this fight will never end. The fight for liberty will never end, because tyranny is on the other side, and we have to always, always be on the guard. I'm telling you, it's never going to be a layback time and just, you know,
okay.
easy going.
I'm ready. I mean, I'll put the tape back on my hands and get into the octagon if I have to.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
I'm glad right that I have the opportunity to be on the network along with you. And obviously, you could have your own show, but you choose not to. And
well, I'd love to write, and you know how much involvement that is. You know, I do my own editing and
everything.
Oh
my God.
So, yeah.
I was working my way through, you know, I asked you to send me a book that's really easy to read and short. So mm-hmm. what do you send me? You send me the photograph, which is 500 pages. But I just want to say that, of course, I'm not a great reader. I don't know if you know that. I can write, but I can't really read that well. I don't know if there are learning disabilities or this and that, but mm-hmm. the way you develop a character and it goes from chapter to chapter is absolutely amazing. And the way you write, it's so descriptive. I don't know how you do it. I mean, I could never do it. I write poems, they're impactful, but they're short, done, boom, boom, they're over. Mm-hmm. But what goes through your mind to weave this elaborate carpet of ideas and develop characters? How do you do it?
Well, I start out with doing a bio on each character.
Okay.
So when I'm right now, I'm prepping to do book six in my thriller series. So what I'm doing is I need to get some new characters in, and you know it will be it's
anybody
going to be
in
a very
anybody in an orange jump pantsuit?
There might be. You never know. It will be, actually, book six will be about infiltrating gangs that have that have flowed over the border. In this book, it will tell a story that is frightening.
I'm sure it will. You know, you left the corporate world, which is a cushy world, right? When you get to a certain point and, mm-hmm. you know, you've got a great job and people know you, your ideas are valued, and you got a job for a long time, but you left all of that.
Well,
why did you do that?
It was at that time in America when, you know, some companies were transitioning, and they were offering golden parachutes, I guess you call it, to people. And I had a 20-year term at this corporation. It's a multinational corporation. Mm-hmm. And I had, you know, $40 million. One account was $40 million. I mean, I had a lifestyle that was, you know, very fast-paced and hectic. But I loved it. I loved the challenge. But when it came time for them to say, well, who wants to take this golden parachute? I had to really look at it and think about it and talk about it with my husband and my daughter and, you know, where would I go from here? And the money was good that they offered. So, mm-hmm.
Nice.
And I got my full pension, which is nice. I have that always in my hip pocket.
Good.
And I thought, wow, I can do something. I could take this and do something that I really, really want to do. And it took me about a year to even figure out what I wanted to write about. You know, for a long while, I was going to do some humor stuff. I don't know if you've ever read Dave Barry. He's one of my favorites, but I love humor things. So I was going to do some of that. And then I still may at some point. But right now, I'm writing books that are about people that I admire. And, you know, people I admire are military and police and, you know, first responders. And I wrote a book about a farmer, you know, a guy that works physically hard. And, you know, the government's trying to shut him down. Well, and, you know.
I was thinking about farmers recently. And what hit me was they're really at the bottom of the food chain, kind mm-hmm. of in a pun. I mean, they have to work the land.
Yeah.
They have to plant the seeds. Mm-hmm. They have to water it, fertilize it. They grow it. They harvest it. And they get the lowest price
mm-hmm.
at the bottom.
Oh, it's
unbelievable.
It's a labor of love. It is. It really is.
So, you know, we really have to respect the farmers of our country. I remember when there was something called Farm Aid, and I know the president committed more money while we figure out some of the world, you know, trade imbalances mm-hmm. and this and that. But I'd just like to ask you to wrap a little bit, wrap this up with, you've always been an optimist with all of your knowledge, all of your political input. You've mm-hmm. always struck me as being the ultimate optimist.
Oh,
why
I
do
am.
You why do you feel good about what's going on and where are the positives? Where does that lie? And, you know, just in the last moment or two, comment on that.
Well, I think, you know, we're being bullied right now, Trump supporters. I think Trump himself is being bullied. It's said that he's a bully, but he's not really. He's just very outspoken, and he's misunderstood by some people. And he's also quite humorous at times.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're being bullied. We're being scorned and attacked and beaten up. But I always look back to things like in the Bible, for example, when people were at their lowest point, and it seemed like always there would be a something that would happen, an incident, and everything would come to light, and it would change for the better. So I always have that. I just have that hopeful feeling inside of me.
That's really wonderful, Ava. And, you know, I just want to thank you for coming on because you're always on the network and you're doing such wonderful things. And a lot of it is behind the scenes. And I'm really happy that you came out and I got a chance to talk to you directly, mm-hmm. let you express a lot of the things you're expressing. So I want to thank you, and, you know, I hope to speak to you soon, and thank you for coming on. And on that note, love Ray Ray and a poem.